Hey everybody, and welcome to the Brothers Geek, where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. My name is Patrick Laporte, Mr. Games Watchmaker, and Master Hand Glove Fitter.
Oh.
And my phrase is, like a glove!
I thought you could be Hamburger Helper, but okay. And I'm Chris Laporte, Tailspin Alternate Pilot, and Re-Dead Re-Killer.
Huh? Hey, you did it that way.
I did it. I got through without stuttering.
And I'm crashing the party here. I'm Jamie. I'm the Mushroom Kingdom flag folder and an ex-Hyrule Castle guard.
Oh, two Zeldas. Nice. Two
Mushroom
Zeldas.
Kingdom's two. Not Zelda.
Hyrule Kingdom card and my re-dead.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah. Not from you specifically.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes.
How you doing, Patrick?
All right. I'm doing pretty good. I'm just, I just have this picture up, and it's beautiful. It's Danny Glover as Lando Calrissian, and I just can't stop looking at it, honestly.
It's the most bitchin' picture.
I will go see that movie for that fur coat alone. Specifically,
seriously.
Donald Glover in said fur coat.
Exactly. Oh, man. And
so attractive.
But before we get into that, welcome, Jamie, to another...
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us again. Our usual cinematography expert wants to chime in on our topic today about something else.
That's not movies.
That's not movies.
I do other things besides sit at home and watch movies all day.
What?
What?
Believe it or not, contrary to popular belief.
You don't sit at home and watch movies all day. You go out and make movies all day.
I'd like to believe that, yes. Actually, I sit at home and edit things all day, but...
You walked 4 miles today to get to where you were going.
I did.
That's right.
That is true.
Sweet. But yeah, so if you aren't a watcher of sports, you are at least at sports parties for the Super Bowl. And it's tolerable nowadays because it seems like Star Wars has been doing this thing where they drop trailers during the Super Bowl. And so we got
they've dropped trailers mostly during Monday Night Football.
Just
right?
Sport balls in general.
Yeah. Just sport, yeah. Just sports
balls
in general. Yeah. And so they have now, they dropped a Solo teaser, and then shortly after, like the next day, they dropped like the full length one.
That's right.
So we got our first look in video form.
Finally.
Long awaited, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about time, because that's happening like soon.
Yeah, it's going to throw off our tradition to go before Christmas and...
I know, right?
Be
it feels weird.
Bundled up in scarves and coats to go see a Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right? Because it does feel like we just had one, and we're already going to be coming up to this one, even though it's still months away.
That means the wait to episode 9 is going to feel endless.
God, you're right.
Which I am already not looking forward to.
Yeah.
The wait, not the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The wait.
Because of how much you're looking forward to the movie.
Exactly.
I had to clarify.
Exactly.
Where will I get my Daisy Ridley fix this year? I need it.
Murder on the Orient Express 2.
Episode 2.
Episode 2. I actually just watched Mr. Sunday Movie's trailer breakdown.
Me too.
We did that too.
Yeah, we did do that.
And something I'm looking most forward to is how I totally unexpectedly predicted what this movie's going to be about with the whole heist thing.
That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, wait a minute. I just heard this.
Yeah.
Remember, I literally told you that they're going to come out with the trailer. It's going to look like a heist movie and you're going to seem like an idiot. But then you TM'd it. So.
TM.
Yeah, so it's mine.
So yeah, this is everybody, you heard it here first. Patrick wrote and hell, directed. Why not?
Unless it sucks, you can disown yourself from that.
Yep.
That's true.
Unless it sucks. I had to part ways for creative reasons halfway through, and they didn't do it the way that I would have done it.
I mean, it wouldn't be the only one for that during that movie. Oh,
ooh,
it's true.
Yeah, two people actually, technically.
Two people, yeah.
Brothers, in fact.
Brothers. You were the third brother that got kicked out. Which I guess makes me the fourth brother that wasn't invited to the party.
I'm there too, guys.
So what did you think?
But yeah. I'm actually pretty interested in it. I think Han Solo's background isn't something that we get a lot of, so like seeing his weird, shady background where he was kind of with the Imperials, but he was mostly doing it just to get the hell off of his home planet and then do other stuff and then started smuggling and then all that. I'm pretty excited to see how he meets Lando and how the whole game goes down. Maybe a little Casino Royale-ish, perhaps.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, look, where there's a big chunk of the movies like in a game. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It seems like, yeah, I don't know. It I was very up and down because there was plenty of parts of, I mean, it's still Star Wars, so I'm like, ooh, Star Wars.
Yeah.
That was his exact reaction.
Yeah.
Ooh, Star Wars.
Can confirm.
But there was plenty of times where I was like, that looks fun and cool and action-y and practical effects, sweet, nice. And then there was, like, the downsides where I was like, oh, that was kind of a weird line. Like, well, it all had to do with Han Solo. Like,
which is kind of a problem.
Kind of a problem.
Oh, you mean that part where he's like, oh, that was almost pretty bad, guys, but we made it. We made it. Or
no,
whatever. Like,
that's fine with me, actually.
Oh, really?
That was not okay. Fine with me, but we'll get back to that.
That seems more Han Solo-y. It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the same actor, so of course he's not going to deliver it like Harrison does, but at least from a writing
that's
standpoint.
Some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Very large. Well.
From a writing
very
standpoint,
large
that's
boots
fine.
To fill.
But what I really didn't like was when he was like, I'm going to be the best pilot. I was like, Han Solo would never say that.
I will be the best pilot.
Be the best there ever was. And,
well, maybe he can start out as, like, a hopeful youth, you know, like, with dreams, and then they get crushed.
That's what I was
going to
say.
And then he becomes the, like...
He's a different character.
Narcissist. Yeah.
He's a younger...
The pessimistic person after.
Starry-eyed, bushy-tailed Han Solo. But I do agree with... Chris is, like, dramatically blinking at me like I'm speaking another language. But it did feel off. And I don't know, like Patrick said, they're very large shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And we need to lower our expectations. We're not getting Harrison.
Yeah.
We're not getting a hologram Harrison Ford. But I don't know. I feel like there's a line of other people who could do him justice. Like, there's that one guy, that Viner guy, who, like, could do impersonations of everybody, and I think his 6-second performances on Vine were better than what I saw in the trailer. But that isn't justification. Like, I can't judge his portrayal of Harrison, of Han Solo from a trailer. Like, that isn't fair.
Yeah, true. And we didn't actually, he didn't say or do much in the trailers, honestly. Like, there was a lot of quick shots, a lot of cool, like, there were some
which
cool shots.
Which also has me a little bit worried.
True.
Why aren't they, like, highlighting on that more?
Apparently he's not a good actor.
Oh,
but he is. Like, did you see Hail Caesar?
In Caesar, yeah.
He's great. So, I don't know.
This seems like a very different role, though. Some people are one-trick ponies where they can...
True.
Where they get typecast.
Oh, it's a very different role. Because he's like, a super southern accent... Like, he's trying to seem like this elite kind of
actor,
high class person,
mm-hmm.
and in the movie that he's doing in the movie, but he's really just this like, southern. He is typecasted in the movie as an actor because he's this
so
southern like, you know, cowboy kind of. So he's always in those kinds of movies, but then they try to get him into this like lofty, elegant thing, and they can't get him to get rid of his accent and stuff. And
we'll find out if this is an autobiographical story of what's the actor's
so
name?
I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah, I just the Hail Caesar guy.
So this is gonna be a movie that represents what they were trying to do with his character in Hail Caesar,
in
the
Hail
movie
Caesar.
Of Hail Caesar that's in Hail Caesar instead of doing the other movies in Hail Caesar, which is another movie from the movie Hail Caesar.
Same movie and Caesar one more time.
John Hamm.
I think I broke myself.
I just blew myself.
What's the last thing he said? Another kind of odd thing is they really like do some kind of like, there's the Millennium Falcon shots. And it's like, we've had the Millennium Falcon for two movies now again. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, yeah. It's not like the reveal of like,
but
oh
it's
my
so
God, it's
nice
Millennium
and
Falcon.
Clean inside.
But they, cause they do that, so like, clean. They do the like cockpit turning on sound, like, and it's like, it's the silhouette of the cockpit or whatever. And it's just like,
it's the tie. It's familiarity. It's bringing in people like, Star Wars.
Exactly, but it's almost like they're revealing the Millennium Falcon for the first time since we've seen it in the originals, and it's like, no, we've had two movies of it already.
It doesn't
matter. We get it.
But it's not like this. It's a different, it's also a different Millennium Falcon. It's a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Millennium Falcon that hasn't seen shit yet.
And Han Solo's probably not even going to fly it that much in the movie, because he probably doesn't even have it for that long.
Probably has it at the end for the Kessel Run, which has got to be what that is.
Oh, yeah.
It is what that is.
What is that freaking monster thing?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's a Star Wars monster. I don't know.
Which is fine. I'm totally fine with it, but it's unexpected.
I do love that.
It's Mr. Kessel protecting his run.
Hi, Mr. Kessel. Mr. Kessel. Are you here selling tracks? Or how do you can't just come in?
Oh, have you heard about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Our Lord and Savior C-3PO.
Our Lord and Savior Greedo.
What were you going to say?
It had a very different rhythm from other, like, from the trilogy that's out right now. Yeah. And even Rogue One, like, even the way it was cut, it was like, doo-doo. It was very rhythmic and, like, upbeat. And it was action, action, action. It wasn't, like, dramatic scenes or, like, there's a porg. It was very, like, just upbeat. And it felt different, which is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So.
And the more they lean into, like, 80s heist movie, I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you both have been saying that you've wanted, is you want Star Wars, but in different forms than just, like, there's Luke using the Force again. It's, like, something new and fresh, and that's what this will hopefully be.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that was missing from this trailer was Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. I demand that song to be in every trailer.
100% seemed like a trailer that would have that.
I agree. I know. Was waiting for like a classic rock song to play. Or a Childish Gambino song.
Oh, that would have been sick.
Oh, that would have been dope, actually.
Totally fine with. Millennium Falcon.
Just him walking down the...
in that... fur fucking coat.
Aw, shit.
So stay woke.
That would be amazing if they did include a Childish Gambino song.
Or if you wrote an original song.
Yeah, right?
Do it.
That'd be sick.
I'm a Star Wars, yeah. That's
spot
about
on.
As far as...
spot on impression.
I actually love Childish Gambino's latest album.
Oh, he's
but
great.
Anyway, I digress.
He's just the shit. That's just all there is to it.
He's such a cool dude. No one will ever be as cool as him.
It's true. And he's got to leave some talent for the rest of us, please.
I know, it's unfair.
If he's not in a cape for 90% of that movie, though, I'm going to be very disappointed.
He's got to talk about how he has ice cream in the Millennium Falcon, and he's got to get back to it, or else it's going to melt.
Got ice cream, man.
Best part about that movie.
Although, I do wonder if Mr. Sunday pointed it out, too, if they're going to have a origin story for the chin scar, the Harrison chin scar.
Oh, yeah. Just like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Gotta have an origin. If it was
Plasma whip.
If it was Lucas, it would probably be like Boba Fett gave it to him by swinging C-3PO's arm at him or something. Like, the most, like, let's just cram as many characters into this backstory of a scar as possible.
Yeah, right.
It'd be funny if it was just something mundane and he just, like, trips at the end. He's like, oh, shit. And then it just credits. Exactly. And we'll probably...
He walks away going, never tell me the odds, and then trips and then gives himself a chin scar. Yeah. That's the end of the movie.
We won't get a scroll again if it's like Rogue One, so it's just going to be floating
Han
Solo in space. Solo in space.
Solo's in space.
There's a star man waiting It's got to be a David Bowie song.
But I mean, I'm intrigued enough. Obviously, I'm going to see every Star Wars that's ever made ever.
Yeah.
And
even the bad ones.
And try to like push down my excitement. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, lower your expectations so you'll be delighted with whatever it is.
And even if it's bad, which I don't think it's gonna be bad. I think it's gonna be
have fun with it.
The least of these that we've. I've been saying this.
I think it'll be fun.
Every episode.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It's Han Solo. It's got to be fun.
I sure hope so. But even if it's not, that's sure? 3 for 4.
You sure?
I'll take a 3 for 4.
Solo.
Oh my god.
God.
Be here all night, folks.
I'll take a 3 for 4 ratio any day, though, when it comes to this. Yeah,
and all the new ones have really hit it out of the park. Yeah. I loved Force Awakens. I loved Rogue One after you explained it to me over pizza. I absolutely loved The Last Jedi. We saw it again. Your fourth time, my third time seeing it, and we walked out of the theater, and I told Chris, I love that movie more every time. Yeah. It's
Which
so great.
Kind of it sparked a conversation like we're going to have today just with all media.
Yes.
You know?
Which we will
get into. But first, we got to talk about what we're drinking.
That's true.
Yes.
And then we have an ad to read after that.
Exactly. I am drinking what I drank last week, some Three Floyds. So.
Nice.
Having it again. It's still delicious.
And I am
Jamie's
sharing.
Sharing, so.
Three Floyds. I didn't want to drink my own and waste a bottle.
Did you just lick your can?
Yeah, it's perspiring.
Oh my god.
No.
It's sweating.
No.
So you must lick it. I mean, that's the only option we got.
Yeah, that's the only option. I gotta, you know,
when I see
get everything I can out of this can.
My natural reaction is to lick it. No.
Well, what I'm linking, licking, and drinking.
And linking
is licking and drinking.
That was last week, Chris. Modern Times, City of the Dead. It's their nitro variation of it, though. So it's got stout with cocoa nibs, almonds, and sea salt. And it's very, very good.
Educate an ignorant person such as myself. What is a nib?
A nib? Mm-hmm.
Desperately looks on cam for answer.
I don't know.
I'm glad. Okay, I'm glad that isn't common knowledge.
I'll tell you this. Women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy. I'll let you know that.
Never knew that.
That's sexist.
Yeah. I will not let a can dictate my decision.
I'll read what the can says. This groundbreaking export stout is brewed with house roasted bourbon barrel aged coffee. Yep, the coffee beans were aged in a bourbon barrel. This mind-bending process imbues the coffee with the incredible flavor and aroma of a freshly emptied bourbon barrel, which carries over magnificently into this rich, chewy stout. Upon this toasted marshmallow of radness, we added almonds, cocoa nibs, and sea salt, creating a creamy liquid s'more that might just blow the doors off your life.
Whoa.
Is it good? Is it blowing doors off?
But what's a nib?
Yeah.
They did not
it still
explain
doesn't
nib.
Say.
I'm guessing
I'm gonna say
like
it's like a
nibbles.
It's like a cocoa. I'm going to say it's like a cocoa bean, but maybe not quite like full,
the whole bean.
Full bean.
Like
yeah.
A little nib.
It's like a half bean. Okay. It's a niblet.
You never go full bean, Chris. You'll die in every movie you star in.
So they
go full
they just
bean.
Kind of flick a couple of cocoa beans in.
No.
No, you never flick the bean. on that note, let's read an ad, Chris. Hey, you like shirts?
What a transition. I do like shirts. Most of the time when I go outside, I wear one, or I'll just kill everyone with my whiteness.
Can't
confirm. Well, if you like shirts and you like things that are all things geeky, you must because you listen to us talk every week, hopefully. Or maybe this is your first time. Well, welcome.
And but maybe anyway, you stumbled we've... in and you're just like, what the hell is this?
What the hell is going on? We're talking about nibs.
That should be the question
partnered...
of the week. What's a nib?
What's a nib?
What's a nib? We've partnered with Ripped Apparel. That's RIPT Apparel. And what they do, they're a cool company that comes out with sweet, rad, geeky t-shirts. And every day they come out with at least 3 new designs that are on a discounted price that are only available for that 24-hour period.
At that price, and anyway.
At that price, anyway. And sometimes, you know, that's it. They're gone.
Yeah.
So I just bought one, Chris. I bought one today.
Oh, nice.
One of their ones. Have you seen the ones that they've come out with today?
I haven't seen the ones that they came out with today.
So you know that you know Banksy, the graffiti artist.
Yeah.
Banksy? Oh, I think I know which one.
So he has this graffiti art that's like a dude during a riot, and it's like he's throwing like a Molotov cocktail or whatever, but it's flowers, a bundle of flowers. Yeah, so it's that, but imagine Tommy Wiseau throwing a football.
Oh my god. That was better than what I was expecting.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I got that one, and I think the shirt's called, like, Go Long, Mark, or something like that.
Well, did you use our link, Patrick?
I did, so if you click on the link that's provided in this description, or on our site, you can find some banners thrown here and there to their website.
I'll see if I can get it on our homepage by the time we release this episode, but it's definitely at the bottom of our latest article from Andrew Karcher, who wrote a great piece about going to the movies alone. There's a link at the bottom of that one. I'll probably put one in the sidebar, so whatever article you go to, it's going to be off to the side. But if you use our links, it helps us out too.
Yeah, and maybe you'll become the master of time if you use our links.
Damn it.
And if I may add, those shirts are a lot of fun. It's not just your average geeky shirt. It's a lot of mashups or a lot of like offbeat geekdom that you wouldn't quite find in your local Target.
Oh, heck
no. No disrespect to Target. I just spent like $100 there.
I love me a Target.
You ready to fucking rage?
But yeah, they're really fun. I'm looking at getting a shirt. It's like Mario Kart styled with Star Wars characters.
I saw
it's
that
so
one.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah.
They have a sweet, like, it's the Green Ranger, but it's Daenerys, like, summoning a, like, mecha dragon. It's pretty sweet.
And the best part, those shits. Those shirts will hide your nibs. So
they'll hide your nibs for you.
And your nibs.
Full nib coverage. but yeah, check them out and make sure you use our link. It'll help us. It'll help you look cool and cover your nibs. And
ripped apparel.
Yeah.
Ripped. Get ripped.
I don't think that's their slogan, but
muscles not included.
That should be their slogan.
Like a 90s toy commercial.
Yeah. Just break
it. Ripped.
Just breaking through, like, all those 90s commercials where they're breaking through walls and then breaking through walls and the toys are breaking through other walls.
Oh, yeah.
Where do these kids get so many bricks for walls?
Yeah, with a little disclaimer that says, do not try this.
Anyway.
Rip and dip. Many of the things that you'll find on those shirts, Chris.
Here we go. I was excited about how you're going to do this.
Are video game related.
Mm.
And you might look at those and go, oh man, I remember that game. That time when Princess Zelda rode on the back of a wolf and it looks like it should be in Power Rangers, but I'm looking at a shirt. That's not what actually happened in the game. But I remember the actual game. It was great.
Wow, we took a long way to get here, but we got it.
I gotta catch my breath. But yeah, many of us in the geek world, not all of us, there are some people that don't play video games at all. But today we're going to talk about why maybe you should play video games, and why the people who do play video games, why we enjoy it so much, why they're so special to us. It's going to be a little heartfelt episode. We should play some heartfelt music in the background,
there
Chris.
We right?
future Chris, and when you're editing this,
ding, 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 ding. Well, so far there's a dog in the background. Usually you're the one
I hear that.
With the dog. But
well, you know, Chris, he was barking earlier, but I don't know if you heard him.
I heard
him. This dog is on the other side of the entire complex, and it's just echoing.
Where's your cat?
Let my voice be heard.
I don't know where they are. They're sneaky little bastards.
All right.
They could be
That's true.
Well, we all know that sneaking missions are the missions that you hate the most in video games, Chris. There's your second segue of the night. Right behind the missions when you have to, like, protect someone as they walk from point A to point B, and they inevitably take the longest route possible to get there.
Or, anyway. Or if you have to get somewhere quickly in a vehicle, we all know how good I am at vehicles.
Yeah, that's true. Games.
Or doing something on a time limit and trying not to wake up sleeping things that will attack you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what we're talking about today and why we've brought Jamie, because I don't know if you all know this about Jamie, but she loves video games, actually.
specific video games. I'm a little bit limited in my game experience, but...
but quite knowledgeable in that slice of pie.
AKA, you know? That's a true nice way of saying I have a very unhealthy love for the Legend of Zelda. But we'll go on.
And Stardew Valley.
Yes.
And Stardew Valley. It's really a
yes, your new love. You're welcome.
Yes.
Just every day. Her farm is legit.
I'm excited to join you guys in this conversation because I've been telling Chris a lot about, like, the impact that this silly game has had on me.
We'll talk plenty about Stardew Valley.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. But yeah, we're going to talk just not briefly because it's the main thing of our episode. But we're going to talk about why video games are so special to us individually and also why they are special as just a whole to the broader gaming community. And I know, sadly, I was trying to get Tiffany on this episode, but she was busy because I know she would probably have a lot to say. So Tiffany, when you're listening to this, be sure to send us an email or something, because I know you probably have some thoughts on this as well. But yeah, let's just start off. I guess I'll start by just saying I've been playing video games since I was born. Well, maybe not playing video games since I was born.
Congratulations,
but at least
it's a boy. Here's a Game Boy.
some of my earliest memories are playing Pokemon on the Game Boy Color. That was, like, my first gaming system that I called my own, I guess. So I remember those days fondly. I also remember watching our dad, the Dadenborn, play through Legend of Zelda constantly and had the game guide and everything. And I remember I would just look through the game guide at all the pictures.
I love your dad. He's so great.
Nowadays, I feel like Dad would be one of those crazy people that would do, like, 3 heart runs in Zelda to try to, like, make it as hard as possible.
And he would do it.
And he would do it and win.
Well, he's already making his own rules up in, like, Shadow of War and shit. Like,
I know, like, I would have beat this game without dying.
On the hardest mode, and I'll start over if I die, I guess. Like, jeez.
He's done characters in Diablo with every single type of class playing on hardcore mode, which is, it's the set rule that if you die, your game is over, so.
It's crazy. It's insanity. Yeah.
So it's in our genes, is what I'm saying there, Chris. It's in our genes to be gamers. And,
khakis.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, when I was a kid, some of my, god damn it.
I just got it. You're on another level that I can't even follow anymore.
It's here to derail your train of thought. Thank you.
So I remember one of the first games that I played by myself and beat was probably Spyro the Dragon on the PS1.
I was just talking about this.
I probably beat Ripto's Rage first, though, which is the second one, and then went back and played the first one. But, man, I played the crap out of the game. It was great.
I remember you playing that a lot, and there's a lot of the same exact sound effect coming from that TV a lot, which is...
Or when you charge and it's like... When you hold down square and you run faster and you have your head down. And so I even went as Spyro one Halloween.
I need to see pictures of this because I bet it was precious.
And I went as Charmander another year, which is basically the same costume, but just different colors.
Amazing.
But yeah, it was great. And yeah, so I've been playing video games for a long time. What about you guys? What's your brief beginnings as a gamer?
Let's hear it, Laporte.
Same, a lot of same memories. Of course, my experience started a little bit sooner than yours. I probably was already playing video games by the time you were born. Well, it was close. Very early stuff.
Sonic.
But yeah, my first Sonic. My first experience really with video games. There were some computer games that are probably, if I saw the games now, they would like unlock this memory in my brain that I didn't know was there. I think there was like a helicopter game like that I played a lot on the computer. I don't remember. But the first
pinball? Microsoft Pinball?
Maybe. Sega Genesis was my first game system, and I remember playing a lot of Sonic and feeling just accomplished as shit for a couple of games, and one was Sonic 3. Beating that one felt real good, because Sonic 2 is a bitch because you couldn't save, and I can get through the whole thing almost without dying until that fucking last boss. And because you don't have any rings, like it's impossible to go into that last boss with any rings. So you get hit, you're dead. So it sucked. Another one was The Lion King on Sega Genesis. I've never gotten so frustrated with a level.
That was the Dark Souls of the day.
Oh my god!
I feel like I had that one, or I didn't have it, but I played it on. Did they have it for Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
It was probably harder. Everything was harder on Super Nintendo. Really, the Aladdin was a bitch on Super
Toy
Nintendo.
Toy Story for Super Nintendo destroyed me.
Oh, we had a Toy Story computer game that
I
played a lot.
Right. I remember that one.
This whole episode is going to be us going, oh, remember this game we used to have?
But yeah, some of the most special, I think, for me, because Dad played a lot of Sega Genesis too. He would get like a lot farther in the Star Trek game than I could get. But I remember him playing Ocarina of Time, and I did a lot of the like getting the extra pieces of heart while he did the temples kind of combo. But he played
nice
for the most part. And yeah, there was just something special about playing that RPG for the first time, and really having a story develop around the character that you were going through. And I remember drawing the pictures from the strategy guide. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And trying to get that hair, get those bangs right.
Yeah.
They were quite tough. I used to draw a lot of Link when I was...
How much shirt was he wearing in those pictures?
Never you mind.
It's like Kylo.
He was wearing lots of shirt.
I definitely read a lot of fan art, I'll say that.
Oh,
or fan fiction.
My goodness.
And you're like, Link speaking, this isn't canonically appropriate.
It did bother me.
Yeah, that's some of the earliest stuff. What about you, Jamie?
So I will say most of my video game history, I guess, has been within Nintendo and not any further out of that. So I'm much more limited than you guys and probably the average video gamer. But my grandma gave my dad a Super Nintendo for Christmas, and he used to play Donkey Kong Country. And we had, of course, other games, but that was the one I remember. And my sister and I would like gather around the TV and watch him play. And even further back than that, my dad used to play like first-person shooter computer games, and I would sit on his lap and he'd let me press the button and like shoot people. And one of his favorites was Duke Nukem, and I remember sitting on his lap, and there was this one level you can go into a bathroom and look in the mirror, and Duke would say, "Damn, I'm looking good." So of course, 3-year-old Jamie heard that and had to repeat it and went to my mom and said, "Damn, I'm looking good." And my mom said, "Okay, don't say that."
Amazing.
But, so after Super Nintendo, I think my sister and I got older and we learned how to play these games. So we were playing Donkey Kong. We were beating levels my dad didn't even beat. And then we saved up Christmas money, birthday money, and we eventually bought...
Screw you, Dad.
We eventually got Nintendo 64. And I think after that, I think we had every Nintendo system.
Nice.
At following that. So
yeah, that's true, because you're one of the few houses that had a Wii U.
Yeah, we even had a Wii U. I don't think I ever touched that thing, but it was my sister's. But yeah, it was something that connected my sister and I too. We would always, well, as a family, like I said, we started playing with my dad, and then when we got older and we were able to play these games ourselves, it was something that we just shared hot summer days were spent playing different adventures, and then it was something that connected our friends at school. The very few friends, like, my sister went through a whole period where she was bullied severely, because what fifth grade girl in 1990-whatever likes Zelda? So so the outcasts that did like Zelda all banded together, so it was a connecting factor, and eventually a lot of our closest friends stemmed from a love of video games, a love of Zelda specifically. So it's been a huge part of our it's funny, it's a coming of age story, and it's a huge part of our coming of age. So yeah. That's kind of the blanket. And like Patrick mentioned, I was a very skinny sixth grader with gaps in her teeth who loved Harvest Moon. And I would spend so many hours. Joe DeCan, if you're listening, you will remember me at this stage. I would wear giant bows in my hair and like my nose didn't fit my face, and it still doesn't. But so now that Stardew Valley came out, I'm super excited. But I want to go into that more later. Yeah. But that's kind of the general, my video game experience.
Yeah. So, so yeah, you kind of brought up something that why it's important to me and important as a whole to gamers everywhere is the community that gets built around gaming. And I remember when I got old enough, me and Chris, this is a big part of our story as well, of connecting over video games, playing Streets of Rage together, playing Golden Axe together, Gauntlet and stuff, and Star Fox, and I would get pissed because he would always beat me in the battle arena.
Right, you could fight each other, that's right. And then I'd be like, no, we'll just take out the extra ones and we'll, you know, like, not fight each other. And then I'd end up shooting him, and boy, you'd get so pissed off.
Yeah. Or playing with our cousins, Super Smash, or something like that. Although, I did have the one game that I could beat everyone in. That was Pokemon Coliseum, so I'll still hold that to this day. And it still holds up. I still could beat everyone at it when we played it.
Stadium, Patrick?
Yeah, Pokemon Stadium 2, I think, specifically.
Coliseum.
Whatever. There is a Pokemon Coliseum.
He still beat you.
That's an actual game. And yeah, it still holds up to this day because that one day we played it at Andrew's.
That's right.
I still beat everybody.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
So I still hold on to that. I can't beat Tyler at Smash, but I can beat him at
that. I beat Tyler at Smash. I hope you're listening.
Have you seen the movie Splash?
I hope you're listening, Tyler. He denies it. He'll say, oh, no, she didn't beat me. I did.
For the record, it's in the podcast. Ether
that
now.
That makes it truth. It's on the internet.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. So yeah, the community that gets built around a video game. And even with Dad watching him play Legend of the Dragoon, which we all love. That was one of the first like RPGs I experienced, I guess, was a JRPG, which is, wow.
Hardcore.
But it was great watching him play, and then I kind of played too, and then I eventually beat it. It took me a while. Because that game kind of gets hard, but yeah, just the community that gets built around games, it's crazy because it's not something like a movie or a book where, like, yeah, sure, you can join like a book club or whatever and read books together and talk about it and discuss, and that's great. You can talk about movies with your friends and go to the movies with your friends. But video games, it's like you're actively participating in something, especially now with like multiplayer games and such, where you can connect with people in different countries, completely, let alone different neighborhoods and states.
I'm sure there's so many stories of people becoming friends or even getting married because of connecting online for a game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, without doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just like you're actively participating in this thing with someone where it's more than just, of course, gamers come together and be like, oh my gosh, have you played this part yet? Or have you played this game? But when you can join with someone in their game and nowadays, like, talk to them, you know, via Discord or through the in-game chat and join with each other on the same mission and actively participate with each other.
Instead of screaming at each other.
Get Monster Hunter so we can hunt monsters together. is something that's totally different than just going to see a movie with friends or something like that, or watching a TV show, going to, you know, watching the season finale together at a finale party, which is great. But then once that episode's over, it's like, okay, you know, sweet, you know, like you're not going to go and watch it, at, like have another finale party when it's already happened.
Yeah. If I can go off the rails just a little bit, like that kind of brings up a point, because I think video games have this connotation. Video games, and I guess, I think video games more than movies and books and TV shows have this connotation of nostalgia. Like, that's such a heavy theme. Like, you listen to, like, I love listening to, like, either orchestrated or classical guitar versions of, like, retro Mario music or Zelda music. And it just takes me back. And I think, like you were saying, there's such a sense of community with video games, and even more so now because you can connect with people through these games and things like that. But yeah, I mean, you think about playing with your dad, you think about playing with, I think about playing with my sister, you think about the people that you shared this game with. And that's what I think where the nostalgia lies, is not the game itself, but just that it serves as a timestamp to who you are at a time and who you were sharing that part of your life with. And it's weird that video games do that more than a book. Like, I can remember reading a book. I'm not a huge reader, so I don't, that this doesn't move me as much as games do. But like, I when you watch a movie, you can remember like, oh, I remember watching this with so and so, and like you remember those things and you love movies. But it doesn't have that same timestamp, and I that's so odd. Like, why this medium has such a powerful timestamp.
And it's funny, too, because I think there's a lot of stereotype, too, for video games, that it's something that's that loner, pimple-faced geek does, you know.
Right. In the corner, yeah, I was going to bring that up.
But
yeah,
the loners have friends, and all the loner, pimple-faced geeks are playing together, eating pizza at their mom's house. Or at least that was
me. Yeah.
And maybe that's, is it like a what's popular culture, especially for the time, it wasn't something, I mean, now geek culture just blown up, you know.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Cool to be a nerd. When I always think back to like that horrible experiences my sister and I had. I never admitted how much I loved video games growing up because I saw what my sister was going through, and she liked Harry Potter, she loved Lord of the Rings, she loved Zelda, and all the kids would make fun of her for that. And now everyone's like, oh, I'm a Potterhead, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, you were like driving my... But I think you mentioned something interesting too, Patrick, is that video games are a special art form in that they're a medium where there's so much of yourself in these games. Like, I mean, maybe not all games, but in some games, your decision-making determines the outcome of the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you at least feel a part of this medium, where in a book, you're just an observer and you're along for the ride. In a movie, you're an observer, you're along for the ride. But in a video game, so much of yourself is invested in there. So that could be where the nostalgia comes in, is because so much of yourself was someone different from who you may be in a few years. So that timestamp is even more defined because you connected with this game. So I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
And speaking of stereotypes with video gamers, I think, yeah, geek culture is blown up, I think. But I think video game culture is still the minority of geek culture. It's cool to be a geek for some things, like a Harry Potter or Game of Thrones or, you know, stuff like that. But I think in a lot of things, and I think specifically gaming, there's still that stigma and that stereotype of, oh, you're a gamer, that means you sit down and play a game for hours because you want to escape reality, or you're a loner, or, you know, you're a super introvert, which I don't think is always necessarily true. I think the majority of the time it's not true. I think there are probably people who use video games as a solution. Many people think that video game addiction is a problem, but in my opinion, it's a solution to a problem. Whereas, just like alcohol isn't the problem, it's the solution to the problem for that person, where they use alcohol, or in this case, video games, to escape whatever they are trying not to think about. So I think many times video game addiction can be that solution to a problem for people, but I think a lot of the time it's not. Just like a lot of the time, people who enjoy alcohol just actually just enjoy alcohol.
Right.
And, you know, use it to loosen up or whatever, or be a part of a community with their friends and stuff like that, too. But I think there still is that stigma of like, oh, you're a gamer. That means you don't want to face reality and you want to escape reality. And now, especially with VR coming into play, that's a major point a lot of critics have to say. When I think, in at least my personal experience and a lot of the personal experience of the people that I talk to about gaming, gaming actually helps them become more aware of reality. Because many times you get faced, and especially because you are an active participant where you're not just an observer, like Jamie was saying, you get faced with these themes that you might not have been aware of or actively aware of, that you now have to make a decision to advance in the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you leave that game, and then you are aware of that going on in life where you go, I have to make decisions. And now I'm aware of these deeper themes that I would not have been aware of unless I was actively participating in this game.
Yeah.
So I think of games like Mass Effect, for example, where you make a lot of decisions in that game. And a lot of the major themes in that game is like, what does it mean to be human? What's humanity?
We're only human.
So like a major theme in all of those games is what is humanity? And it's not just being the race of human anymore. Even some AI in that game asks questions that a human isn't even asking. AKA, does this unit have a soul? I mean, when Legion says that line, you're faced with a theme that you are forced to think about and make a decision on because you have to make a dialogue choice in that moment to answer him.
Yeah.
You have to answer what a soul is.
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean to, is it consciousness? Is it morality? What does that look like? And that's just, you outside observers will critique a game like that and be like, oh, it's just, you're just banging aliens and shooting people. And like,
yeah, when Mass Effect first came out, there was news channels saying like, this is a alien sex simulator game, which is not that.
And I think that's something, video games have come so far from like little 8-bit pixels going across the screen and getting from point A to point B and just making it through levels. They now have very deep stories. It's really an art form. It's entertainment. Oh, yeah. Just like any, like however else you would consume a story. But I feel like you were saying, Patrick, this takes it even deeper because you are in so much control.
Even if you're not making choices in the game and it's just a game where, for the most part, a story plays out linearly and, like, that's the story, there's something about becoming the character in the story.
Identifying as that hero or
exactly.
That.
It's not just, like you said earlier, it's not just you along for the ride watching the story take place. There's something about controlling where the character goes, controlling the action, and being involved in a way that you can't do in books and video games, and movies, that make it something special.
Not to discount books and movies, and because they're fantastic art forms, obviously. People enjoy them so much, and it's just different. It's a different art form, and it impacts you in a different way.
And I think also, it doesn't make you a loner either. I think video games are perfect for whatever end of the spectrum you're on as well. If you're a super introvert, it's good for you because you can sit and play this video game but still practice social skills because of your interactions in the game. And let's say you're an introvert who wants to, like, have more interactions with real people, then you can join a community surrounding a game and play with other people online, things like that. Mm-hmm. If you're an extrovert and you've been an extrovert all day, it's nice because this is like kind of the category I land in a little bit more. It's nice because then you can go home and like just sit for an hour and do something just with yourself, but at the same time, it's not just with yourself because you are still part of this world that you are being immersed in through the game.
Yeah.
And then it's also nice for extroverts, too, if they want to meet new people and make new friends, because that's what extroverts do, then, you know, you got that going, too, because you can join forums or guilds or groups or whatever and play video games together or play with your friends that you know in real life, all that stuff.
And that's something really cool, too, is that games are designed, of course, marketing and advertising, of course, certain games are catered to certain audiences, but they're really designed for anyone to enjoy. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what kind of person you are.
There's something for you to experience
and enjoy. Which,
and it's, yeah, it's one of those things. There's this post that goes around on Reddit of like this kid who had like a really bad form of disease, and he, you know, his physical capabilities were very low and things like that, but he played Star Wars Galaxies, that's a throwback, and, you know, he had, like, a bounty hunter character, you know, who could do whatever, and he felt like he wanted to identify with that character because it was part of a world that he loved in Star Wars, and he could do things he couldn't do in real life through that game, which made him as a person in real life better for it. So this will bring me to a topic that is very personal to me, and this will transition into Stardew Valley for you, Jamie. So,
yes.
So when that game first sort of came out, it was a few months after it had come out. I didn't play it upon release, and I didn't even really follow the game that much. I bought it sort of on a whim because it looked fun, and I saw other people play it on YouTube and stuff, and I was like, oh, like, that's a game that you can't really watch, you kind of have to play to enjoy it, you know. So I got it, but I didn't really play it that much or whatever. And then my, like, girlfriend of then 3 years broke up with me, and it was all for the basis of, like, she just didn't love me anymore. And it was around that time as well that I was, like, diagnosed with, like, severe depression and, like, moderate to severe anxiety. And many people can say, I probably at first used that game as an escape or as the solution to my problem. But at the very same moment, that game, like, literally, I attribute it to, like, saving my life. Because at that point, I was, like, at my lowest low. But through that game, there was something that happened in that game where you play that game, and at its core, yeah, it's a retro farming simulator. That's what it is. Mm. But at the same time, the game opens up and you're talking to your grandfather in the game, and he gives you this letter and he tells you that you'll know when to open it, you know, when the burdens of life start getting to you, and it cuts to your character in a corporate office, and you're sitting there and you're just tired of it. And so then you open the letter, and it turns out to be a deed to your grandfather's old farm. And so you go out, you drop everything and go out and start this new life. And your farm's overrun, and it hasn't been taken care of. And so you kind of start from scratch. And so it's a game really about, like, something more than just corporate life and office life and just going through the mundane. And so, just as that character went to that farm to escape all that, I went to that game and I accomplished things where every day you set out what you want to do, which is you want to plant seeds, you want to farm, you want to fish, you want to mine and make that money. And you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you see the results of your labor. And that is something that helped me cope with my anxiety at the time, because I felt a sense of accomplishment. Whereas maybe that day, the rest of the day, I felt like I was running in circles or not going anywhere. I could do that and feel accomplished. And maybe people might hear this story and be like, well, just, like, get help. I was going to therapy. I had a mentor. I was even on medication. So, like, you can't say that I wasn't doing other things.
It's not a Band-Aid.
Well,
it's not a fix-all. There's all, you obviously need to go beyond that. But
but it helped.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a good group of friends, and I talked to people and stuff like that too, but it was really, like, when I think back at the time, like, I think of that game.
Yeah.
And that
And it's probably fondly. It's not like, oh god, I was in such an awful time of my
right.
life. It was
yeah.
like, oh, that game was so great. It was like a saving grace. Hmm. Yeah, I definitely, oh god, Stardew Valley. It's so fantastic. But I'm going to rewind a little bit, like, to tell my personal account of, like, my experience with the game is, I'm going to rewind to Harvest Moon, my Harvest Moon days.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing an ad, I think it was in a Nintendo Power, or maybe a Game Informer, RIP Nintendo Power, I love that magazine. There was an ad for A Wonderful Life, which was a GameCube game, Harvest Moon game. And I'd never heard of Harvest Moon. I'd never played it. But something like the cute little characters and there were animals and it said, you can build your farm. I was really like sixth grade. Again, this was hair and bows, gaps in teeth, nose too big for face, Jamie. And I was so intrigued by this game. And I went to GameStop, or I think it may have even been a Blockbuster, RIP
Ooh.
Blockbuster.
Ooh. Whoa.
And picked up that game and just started playing, and it was so fun. And again, you're in sixth grade. You just go through the usual bullies, the coming, like, growing into your grown-up body and all that stuff, all that fun stuff.
Puberty.
Yeah, so it was just fun to play that game, and it was always something just, like, to wind down with and relax and find peace, I guess. And it was also, to take it even further, my best friend, who I'm still friends with, was going through a season where her dad had a brain tumor, and we would often give her rides, and she would come home and stay with us because her parents were at the hospital or things like that. So I remember sharing that game with her just like as something so she wouldn't be thinking about her dad having a brain tumor. And it was just, it was such a peaceful game. And then, of course, when the later games came out, of course, I had to get everyone. But then after a while, I grew up, I went to high school, and I didn't have time for video games anymore. So I didn't play Harvest Moon anymore. And so we go home for Christmas this year. And my birthday is 5 days after Christmas. So I have to share with Jesus, whatever. Chris, my wonderful, wonderful, loving partner in life, gave me Stardew Valley for my birthday. And I remember you, Patrick, telling me about Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah.
You said, it's just like Harvest Moon. So I was so excited that I got this. I was like, oh, I want to see like how similar it is. And so I didn't play until we got back to Nashville. For new listeners, Chris and I are living in Nashville, and Patrick is in Southern California, where Chris and I are also from, but we recently moved out here. So we just got back from spending 2 weeks with our family and friends, and it was really hard for some reason coming back this year. Like, just, I was super homesick. And came back, punched in that code into our Switch, and started playing Stardew Valley, and it just took me back. I was like tending my crops and raising animals, and I felt that peace that I felt when I was 12 years old and on hot summer days, like, just, I don't know, just having, like, it just took me back. It took me back home, and it didn't take me back to like a place. It took me back to who I am at my core, which is this like super simple, peaceful person. And maybe even a peaceful, like, young, naive sixth grader. Like, just being able to go back to that was so great. And it kind of made coming back to Nashville, it made me feel a little bit more, I guess, at peace from feeling homesick. So it was just, it was awesome. And then I think I've mentioned in past episodes, like, I also recently lost my job, and it was funny seeing this character like leave their corporate job
yeah.
like for something more. I was like, oh my god, this game is speaking to me. so it was just, it's funny, and now I cannot stop playing it. Like, there's been some nights that I stay up way too late. It's so addicting, where it's like you start doing something and then you're like, oh, but now I want to upgrade to this. Or so addiction is real. And I'm experiencing it. But But it is, it's been so fun to have that, especially like, I have been fortunate getting different jobs as a freelancer. So days that I have that I work 8 hours a day, like I don't have to work 8 hours plus freelance work. It's like I can just freelance and then come home and relax with Stardew Valley. And it's been great.
Nice. But so yeah, that, I mean, it just goes to show that gaming and video games are just like, can be, sometimes they can't be for many people, but or specific games maybe that don't try as hard to be something more, but they can be.
Yeah.
Many times they are. And so, you know, and now it's, there's people who would rather follow a channel, aka me, follow a channel on YouTube of people who play video games than watch a TV show on a regular basis. Or follow specific people who stream video games. Shout out to Up, Down, Left, Die. You know, and so, you know, you got that going on too. And then that creates a whole nother community on top of the community that you already enjoy, which is the gaming community. Now you have a, like a more, your clique of people who follow this specific person or people. Mm. So there's that too. So, yeah, I mean, any this episode's winding down a little bit here, but any final thoughts?
I think it's just it is at its core maybe the power of storytelling in a medium where you have control over that story, and mm-hmm. and experiencing that with other people, making it something special. I mean, I was talking about that a little bit when I wrote the article about Dungeons and Dragons. You know, like,
yeah,
there's something special.
There's a perfect example, yeah, also
of the same, like some similar stereotypes.
OG video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, before there was yeah. video involved, I mean, in the game.
So you have like, you have this ability to almost experience a story together that you're involved in a way that other mediums can't quite replicate.
Yeah, and Dungeons and Dragons even takes it a step further where you're in complete control.
Yeah.
The outcome is driven by you and your DM.
Yeah, so. And that's,
yeah,
that's a topic for...
that. Yeah, that's a whole other
for
episode.
For next week. No. But it is amazing whenever I do see like negative news articles and that kind of thing about video games, and it's just like... Everyone's got different experiences, and of course you can take anything too far, like you were saying, but
yeah,
it's amazing because it really does bring back special memories of dad, or even just tying in with other things I love, like playing Lord of the Rings online, like yeah. just experiencing a world that I loved already in a new medium with other people that loved it too.
Or beating Breath yeah. of the Wild in your shitty apartment your first year in Nashville.
I will never not associate Breath of the Wild with the pre-spider riddled floor that we were sat on and felt comfortable on while playing
time.
That game before everything was permeated with smoke and spiders and terribleness.
Yeah. So yeah, make sure you go on to theportport.com. That's theport, P-O-R-T-E, P-O-R-T.com, and find our social media links and our email and all that stuff there, and let us know some of your nostalgic stories or why you connect with games and gaming and the community as a whole. Let us know so we can, because that's what it's all about, hearing each other's stories as well. So make sure you do that. But we got Weapon of the Week to talk about, Chris.
We do.
So Jamie, what's Weapon of the Week?
Oh no, this sprung on me. I wasn't prepared.
Well, don't worry. You just have to explain what Weapon of the Week is.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then you can have time to think.
Okay, I already thought of one.
Okay, good.
Okay, Weapon of the Week is this little segment that the brothers do every week where the last media you consumed, or sometimes even dreams, the last experience you had, I guess, pick something from that experience that you can use as a weapon to fight Luke's zombie apocalypse.
That's right. There you go.
And my weapon of the week is I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it.
Is going to be a demonic duck hunt dog. Let me explain.
Okay.
There is a VR game, and I wish I could recall what it is called.
It's called Duck Season.
Duck Season? Duck okay. Season. We were just
literally 2 seconds ago.
Just watching a playthrough with, I also don't know the YouTuber's name. I'm really bad at this.
Yeah. Something Wolf. John Wolf?
John Wolf, I believe.
What is it?
Josh Something Wolf, Wolf. John Wolf. It's one of those wolves.
Wolf of the knee. Don't forget the E.
And it's a VR game where you're a character playing Duck Hunt or Duck Season in the game.
It's Duck Hunt from... Yeah, it's Duck Hunt in the game, like styled after Duck Hunt, called Duck Season. But you play as someone watching a play about a kid, but then you're the kid playing this game, but then you're the video game character in the video game.
It was very meta. Yeah. But anyway, look at Patrick's face. He's like trying to wrap his head around this. Anyway, if you shoot the dog, like, you know, the little Duck Hunt dog, seemingly innocent, if you shoot him, he will later go into your house and kill your mom.
What?
It escalated.
He starts literally breaking the fourth wall. Like, you see him in the window when you come back out of the game.
It was terrifying.
Yeah. And it's kind of like Five Nights at Freddy kind of type. Like, they're animatronic puppets and they're
they're not. Yeah.
And it's very suspenseful. But anyway, that is my fight against, I might have a shot actually against the zombies.
I think it would fare well, because the only thing way you kill is like with shooting it.
Yeah, and zombies don't have guns.
The question is, how long does it take for that dog to turn on you?
You have to shoot him quite a bit, yeah.
He has laser eyes.
He does have laser eyes.
He has laser eyes.
Oh, whoa. Well.
It was terrifying.
Plus?
Shall we go into some listeners' weapons of the week before we reveal ours,
Patrick? Yeah, so Jake chimes in, and he also has his geek Mount Rushmore as well.
Oh, nice. Yay!
He says the last movie I saw was Star Trek Beyond. Great movie.
I have still not seen it.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So you're not gonna get this. So my weapon in the zombie apocalypse would be Kral's Swarm, the one he attacked Yorktown with. I know what you're talking about, Jake. That's a pretty badass movie. how do I even explain it? It's like, you just gotta watch the movie, Chris. I don't, like, it's badass. You just gotta watch it.
I mean, Swarm.
It'd be effective.
Like it sounds like a good idea to have against zombies.
Yeah.
Certainly.
It might be, yeah, it might be one of those things that's like, I don't know if you'd create another problem, though. You know?
That's true.
Yeah, same with the Duck Hunt dog.
Yeah, you're but creating another problem.
I'd rather
for
have
sure.
zombies.
I guess you could control this swarm a little bit better, so. Yeah. You're good.
I mean, I released bees last week, so I mean,
it's true.
Speaking of swarms,
it's not quite bees. Think more like Mass Effect 2.
Oh, those little things.
Yeah, think more like that.
That's not good.
Anyway, but it'd be probably be pretty good as a zombie.
Oh hell yeah!
Slurred a little bit there.
Oh, that's the nitro.
Let's see. My weapon of the week would be, let's see, I mean, last thing would be from Monster Hunter, so it would be the ability to make the most ridiculous armor sets out of the parts of the monsters that I just killed.
So you're making zombie armor.
Or to shoot bugs. So another kind of swarm thing.
Oh my god, there's just bees.
I'll shoot
and bugs.
A bug.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, I guess I would have to kill zombies first and then carve their bits up and then create
their nibs.
Zombie
their
armor.
Nibs.
Zombie armor out of them, and it'd probably be pretty effective because they might get confused and not attack.
That's true. I mean,
so if I could isolate some,
isn't that essentially the strategy of somebody in Walking Dead?
Yes, like first season, where Glenn and Rick, R.I.P. Glenn, walk through some zombies. Yeah. Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gross though. A little smelly.
I guess is the point.
But if it keeps me alive,
I guess.
Can't complain.
That's before or after you smash your head in with a rock.
Yeah, yeah.
My weapon of the week is the power of Christ.
Oh no.
Okay. You just win, I guess.
You win.
Well, again, we literally were watching this with my roommates 2 seconds before we hopped on this call. It's a game called, was it Faith, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a newer game. I don't know if it's on Steam or whatever, but it looks like an old NES game. Yeah. Where it's just like, it doesn't even have the terrain, it's just like trees, and you go from grid to grid, kind of thing. Like Oregon Trail status.
Mm-hmm.
But you're this priest that parks his car, and you have to get to a house, so you gotta start wandering through the forest, and then suddenly, like, this crawling four-legged demon thing just starts coming at you, like,
bear! Why do you park so far away?
I know, right? Well, there's no road, I guess. And you have to do different things in the forest. But the only way to get it to go away is you show, like, a little cross to it. And it, like, runs away.
It disappears.
So, like, there's a button that's just hold the cross up. Wherever you go, you can nice. Just... But it, like, if you're at the edge of the map and it comes out that side of the map...
You're done.
Fucked. You're done. Yeah. Like, there's no time. So,
Christ can't save me now.
So, yeah, I guess I go to the zombies. I go to the zombies and I just hold up the little crucifix. And they just run the other direction.
I don't think they care, Chris. Oh, I guess it's that powerful.
I'm sorry, it's the power of Christ. What can you do?
It compels you?
It can compel you. If we started the zombie apocalypse through some dark magic or whatever Luke did to fuck this whole thing
out. True. Well, it's World of Warcraft, too, so it might be doubly effective.
That's almost as bad as Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
So...
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm never going to get a weapon like that again.
No. Nope.
Or it's just a normal crucifix, and I'm real fucked.
Yeah. Yep.
Does not have the power of Christ.
Yeah. So, Jake's Geek Mount Rushmore, he went with, like, actual people, not characters.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he said Tolkien.
Nice.
Shigeru Miyamoto, which is...
That's a good one. Oh, I should have thought. Yeah, that's
he'd be on girl. Mine. He'd be all four on mine. Mm. Love that man.
All four.
Just him doing different looks.
Yeah. George Lucas. And Hayao Miyazaki, which is the Studio Ghibli. Oh,
love him too.
Yeah, that's real good.
That's
a good lineup right there. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. You ship it.
You ship those four people getting together.
Ship it real good.
Oh man,
nice. Yeah. So
what if all four of those people collaborated on something?
I'd lose.
Oh my god.
Just Lucas can't be the editor. That's for sure. He needs concept.
His ex-wife can be though. She was that's true. The MVP, VIP. Sports terms.
Sports ball.
She was the ERA of that movie.
She was the EPA. She was the IRS.
So yeah, make sure you chime in if you haven't already with your Geek Mount Rushmore. If you are a gamer and want to talk about gaming and why it's special to you, make sure you chime in with that as well. And again, go on to theportport.com and check out the link to Ripped Apparel. While you do so, get yourself a cool shirt. But besides that, I think... That might be your Geek of the Week, Chris.
I think it might be. Thank you, Jamie, for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
And we will see you next week.
See you next week. DK Donkey Kong. One hell of a guy.